This is John Pappas. I want to welcome you to our study in Messianic Christology, the Second Coming of Christ. Father, God, we do thank you for this opportunity to gather together around your word, and so thank you so much for it. And thank you for letting us know the beginning from the end. A lot of details we don't know, but you've given us these, and so we thank you for them. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are looking at the start of the tribulation is what we call it and what the Bible calls it. The Old Testament has several names for the tribulation, and we'll look at a lot of these names. There's at least a dozen names, specific names for this period of Daniel's 70th week. And so last time we looked at the 70 weeks of Daniel, and we actually covered the seventh week, but now we're going to focus a little more on this 70th week, the 7 years that they call the time of judgment, time of Jacob's trouble, time of great birth pains, a time of tribulation. We'll see a couple of the words used for this period of time that is prophesied, a unique period of time in history. So let's take a look at this. The purpose of the tribulation is a time of judgment, a time of judgment. So why the tribulation? Well, it has a purpose, and when will it be? Well, this kind of will tell us some things. Look at Romans chapter 11, verses 25 through 29. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. There it is, the times of the Gentiles. So that period that Daniel spoke about in his 70 weeks, it's coming to completion here as this fullness of the times of the Gentiles. So why the tribulation? Well, the fullness of the times of the Gentiles must come to fullness. Look at verse 26. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So one of the purposes for the tribulation period is that Israel will have this period of tribulation to bring them and draw them in a certain sense to him. A lot of things will happen. Verse 27, for this is my covenant with them. Look at that. He goes back to the Abrahamic covenant. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Wow. See, this is the book of Romans. Christ has already gone to the cross. It's taken care of. But then there's the Jews. What do you do with the Jews? Verse 28, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Wow. Promises. If you're chosen by God, it's irrevocable. It's an irrevocable promise. For the gifts, look at that, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Wow, it's a sure deal. That's what's so encouraging about prophecy, is that his promises, his covenants are irrevocable, and he's the one who is sovereign enough to bring it to completion. So they were elected by God. They're beloved by God, and why? For the sake of the fathers, mentioning the Abrahamic covenant, and then so. It's a sure thing. But look at the second purpose. There's a second purpose to the tribulation, and that's to judge the wicked. We turn to Isaiah 13, verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes. See, the day of the Lord is a technical word for this day. Whenever you see that expression in the Old Testament, you should think of the tribulation period. Now, it doesn't always mean this future tribulation period, but it is a technical term that means a day of judgment. It's not a single day, it's a period, right? You have a day of darkness, which is a period, a day of the Lord, which is a period. In this case, it's 7 years. So, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel What is its characteristic? Cruel and both with both wrath and fierce anger. To lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. Now look at this. God uses the elements, his creation, to institute it. How do we know it's not here? It hadn't happened yet? Because some of these descriptions of these elements that he uses of his creation, this obviously hasn't happened yet. Look at that. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil. Who gets punished? The whole world for its evil. And the wicked for their iniquity. Now the word there is peculiar. There's several words for punishment, and in the Hebrew, there's a half a dozen words for punishment. You get the word strike. That's can be translated punishment sometimes. The word fine is a different word in the Hebrew, and that's can be translated punishment. This is the word pakad, to count. It's an accounting. He's going to reckon or account the wickedness of the world. He's coming to judge the world in his second coming. And this period of the seven-year tribulation, he will account. He'll account for the sin of the world. That's what the word punishment. I will account the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will halt the arrogance of the proud and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make the mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will not move, will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. So there's a couple of expressions for that day. It's described as the day of his great anger. And you can tell by this there's going to be earthquakes. And you've seen some of the expressions. And we'll look at some of the verses that describe this great earthquake. It's like nothing that has ever happened before. But this is certainly a terrible, terrible day. Look back at verse 13. The wrath of the Lord, the day of his fierce anger. Great tribulation will happen here. So this particular description is spelled out in Revelation chapter 16 through 18, and that describes what this day is usually attributed to, this great day, and it's a series of three judgments. It will cause the 80% of the world's population to perish in that day. Great, great judgment. 80% of the world's population. So look at that next little section, Matthew 24:22. For then there will be great tribulation. See, the New Testament talks about great tribulation. Tribulation can be broken down into two parts. Tribulation, the first half, and then the second half is this great tribulation. For there will be great tribulation such as not has seen since the beginning of the world till it's this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So this period is so great, so terrible, that if the Lord didn't shorten that day to a restricted 7 years, all the earth would certainly perish. But he has limited it because he has a purpose for it, and that is to keep his elect alive and saved on the last day. So that's the second part, to judge the wicked. This a third purpose of this tribulation period, this time of judgment, is to bring about worldwide revival. Worldwide revival. Now this is an interesting little section. Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 17 describe this. And this is the 144,000. So in the midst of this great tribulation, this happens. Verse 2, "Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads.' And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all of the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed." And then the next verses detail each tribe, 12,000 from each tribe, and he specifically names this. Just to make sure you understand, these 144,000 are Jewish. They're Jewish virgins, in fact. Look at that next section, Revelation 7, verse 9. "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands." A little section there, which describes what they will do, and one of their purpose is to be witnesses to the world. In fact, go to look at this next section, Matthew 24. A satisfaction of Jesus' prediction here. Verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." We'll cover some of the names of the great tribulations. Beginnings of sorrows is an Old Testament expression that indicates this tribulation period. Verse 9, "And then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." A great apostasy, in other words. In verse 11, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Again, a great apostasy, a great satanic delusion. Verse 13, "But we who endure to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." This is normally associated with the 144,000. And so they will be witnesses because they'll have a worldwide stage to preach the, what are they preaching? Not the gospel of Christ. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What's the difference? The gospel of Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The gospel of the kingdom has to do with the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, but fulfilled in his second coming to be in the kingdom. So there's a subtle difference there. It's the good news. The gospel just means good news. So we have the good news of the Christ, gospel of Christ, which we preach today. We don't preach the gospel of the kingdom. We're told to preach the gospel of Christ. So there is this gospel of the kingdom, which is in nature his second coming, messianic in nature. And in verse 15, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, saying in the holy, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." So this is what we looked at last time, that the abomination of desolation that took place, that Daniel spoke about. So there is the worldwide revival was a second purpose, or third purpose of this time of judgment. So let's move back to the book of Daniel and look at the duration. And we move back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, really verse 27 I want to concentrate on, because we looked at this last week. Verse 26, "And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. but not for himself, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be like a with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. So now that was pre Christ coming, or that was actually the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. So now we come to future, typically what is viewed as future, 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant. Again, who is this prince? Shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, this prince being the little horn, the Antichrist. But in the middle of the week, so 3.5 years into it, a week is 7 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even till the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So this is the last week. This is verse 27. It's the last week, which is 7 years, which is called this tribulation period. And that's what will happen during that particular period. It'll be 7 years. The duration is 7 years. And in the middle of it, he's going to do something. The Antichrist will do something. He's going to end sacrifices and offerings. And this will begin what is called the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of this period. So now that we are in Daniel, back to Daniel, we need to finish up the tribulation period that Daniel talks about, as we look through several chapters of Daniel. So we move to Daniel 11, verse 36 through 12:1. Here's a description of this particular seven-year period that Daniel gives us. Then the king shall do according to his own will. This is verse 36. Who's the king? Well, this is the coming king. This is not Antiochus Epiphanes of the 70 AD period, but this is the little horn of Daniel 7:8. This is the ruler of Daniel 9:26, the final ruler of the Roman Empire. So then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. For what has been determined shall be done. So this is predetermined. How big is God? Well, he knows the evil of man, and God doesn't cause evil. He just knows man, what man will do, and he sees this Antichrist, and he knows exactly what he's going to do. Why? Because God is infinite. He's above all things, and he sees it.
There's no possibility it might be avoided.
Do what now?
There's no possibility it might be avoided.
Avoided? No, no. It's
like Nineveh with Jonah.
No. No, there's because it's prophecy. Yeah, prophecy must be fulfilled.
Well, didn't he pronounce against Nineveh that it was going to be destroyed in 40 days?
Yeah, and what did he do? So Jonah prayed.
Well, he told them, and then they repented, and then God changed his mind. There's no possibility of that.
There's nothing in Scripture to say, I'm going to hold back and not destroy the world with fire. So I God is sovereign, and what he prophesies will come to effect, and that's the thing about prophecy. it's sure to come about. So anyway, back to verse 36. So this is final ruler of the Roman world. And it's spoken of in Revelation 13, 1 through 8. And look at that. In verse 36, he declares himself to be God. I've given you the very last verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at that. at the very bottom of your page. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? There's another very interesting technical word in the Greek and the Hebrew. It's a demonstrative pronoun, that, next to a definite article, the, placed with day. It's the that day. So to make it like extremely, you can't miss it. This is a particular day. It's the that day. And so that's what's used here. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, it's really the that day, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Will God change his mind on this? This is irrevocable. This is going to happen. It's a sure thing. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Wow. This is future. This is 2 Thessalonians, long after all that other stuff. But I wanted to go to Revelation chapter 13 and just read. I didn't give you the text, but I wanted to read a couple of verses because this is a description of this. His character, because this is the end time character. And what is he like? Verse 1 of chapter 13, and I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Remember Daniel? It's like he's a summation of all the evil. It's like the culmination of all the evil here. The dragon gave him his power. Wow. His throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like this beast? Who is able to make war with him? That's what we're about to see in Daniel. This description of this character as he desires, back to Daniel 11, verse 36, and back 37, and he shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them. So this is a description of this Antichrist. This is really Antichrist. Look at that. Some people would say this is a Jewish gentleman because, look, he neither regards the God of his fathers. So some would say, well, that's clearly Jewish. Maybe not. If you know, there's good pluses to make that argument. Verse 38, but in their place he shall honor a god of fortress, and a god which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. What is the god of fortress is? Well, he loves war. He's personifying war. So the god of, so he loves war and he loves materialism. He loves money, loves materialism. That's the character of this guy. He doesn't acknowledge any religions except himself. Look at the next verse, 39. Thus he shall act against the strongest fortresses with a foreign god, which he shall acknowledge and advance its glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and divide the land for gain. Okay, so what is going on there? So he's going to, of course, worship and demand worship for himself, of himself. But this is the example that, if you go back to Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18, speak of this Antichrist. And he is going to award those who support him, who worship him, by dividing the land. He will reward them. And that's what verse 39, end of verse 39. The land, divide the land for gain. He's going to give them gain. Those who support him will get lots of benefits. Lots of benefits. But he's a worldwide leader, remember. Look at verse 40. At the time of the end of the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. So who's the south? Was most likely Egypt. Most expositors would say Egypt. North, most expositors would actually say Russia in this case, but you get the idea. He's attacked from two directions, south and north. And they come like a whirlwind, so it's quick, and with chariots and horsemen and all, and many ships, and they shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through them. So they're coming through countries to get to them. Verse 41, he shall also enter the glorious land. Well, that's Jerusalem. And many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans, the Ethiopians, shall follow in at his heels. So they all are going to gather to him. He's very charismatic. Very interesting ruler. Verse 44, but news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. So this is, again, this is described in Revelation, the book of Revelation, about all of these armies coming against him. Verse 45, and he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. So there it is. He's going to plant his tent where? Between the seas. What is it? The Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. So most would say, well, that's probably Jerusalem. And so he'll be there. And verse chapter 12, verse 1, at that time Michael shall stand up. So now we have Michael the archangel. He's going to stand up. And why? Look at this. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. That's Michael. He's the great prince who is the guard of Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered. Every one who is found written in the book, and he's talking about the book of life there. So there'll be deliverance. He will come to his end in the end times, and all people, all the Jews, all your people, those specifically the Jews, will be delivered. They'll be saved. And then we skip down to verse 11 of chapter 12. And from that time, from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days, 3.5 years. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. So he's telling Israel, you all shall be saved. The very first verse we saw, Romans 11, will come to fruition. So this last 3.5 years is going to be really, really tough. And this 3.5 years fills in where Daniel 9:27 ended, where 9:27 gives you a summary statement. This section gave filled in some details of that. Well, we have a lot of to look at here as we look into this great tribulation period, and it'll be an interesting study about this time of trouble, time of Jacob's trouble.